Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of Temple Baptist Church of Asheville tonight. We are going to open our hymn book. I hope you have a hymn book. If you do, it's hymn number 7, Blessed Be the Name. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die, that He might man redeem. But the world is going to come and lead us in this great hymn.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdoms conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
All right, I hope that you sang along there in your home. I hope you enjoyed that song. And at this time, Jared is going to come and play a song on his violin for us to listen to.
Let's open our Bibles to two places, Psalms chapter 27, and then again to Exodus chapter 14. I want to thank you for listening in. I know these are times of question, times of not understanding. And by the way, I want you to know that we don't have to understand. Here's what we do have to understand. We do have to understand that God's in control. We do have to understand that God has a plan, and we may not understand what that plan is, but we understand God knows the plan, and we can trust in Him. Psalms chapter 27 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 27 and verse 1, we're going to start here. And then we're going to go to Exodus chapter 14. Let's pray before we get started. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us. We have so much to be thankful for. Lord, thank you so much for putting us here for such a time as this. Lord, thank you for this trial. Thank you for this valley that you've caused America to go through. Help us to learn and to see you in this. Lord, speak to our hearts this evening as we look at your word. Lord, help us to understand more about the fear of the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? During this time, David is writing this psalm when many believe that someone, one of his own, turned their back on him. And so let's read that again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And then there's this question, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? And that's what I want to talk about this evening is that thought, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Who are we to fear? Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. We're going to pick up in verse number 10. And as we're looking at this story, the plagues in Egypt has just ended, and Pharaoh has finally given the word to let the people go, and they have started out on their journey now, and of course Pharaoh reconsiders and goes after them. Verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And verse 11, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. We see here that the Israelites finally see the Egyptians coming after them. They went and camped right beside the Red Sea, and as they were camping there, they look back and they see this great army. And I want to look at this thought, the children of Israel saw the Egyptians, they were coming after them, this thought of whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Let's look at, first of all, their enemies. Now, as they're looking back and they see the Egyptians, we know the Egyptians are the enemy of the Israelites. But I want to tell you right at that moment, their enemies were not, the greatest enemy that they had, that was not the Egyptians. The greatest enemies that the Israel had to face weren't the Egyptians. Although, what a great enemy. I mean, it says here that there were 600 chariots. There were the captains and a host of military were coming after them. Now think about that. They were not on good terms with them. They were coming after them. This was the slaves versus an army of Egyptians. The strongest army in the world versus a group of weak slaves. But the greatest enemies of the Israelites at this time, the first enemy was worry. We dealt with this on Wednesday evening, but many times we worry about things we cannot even control. I mean, if you understand right now, the Israelites look back, they see the Egyptians coming, and the first thing they do is worry. They look back, it says in verse number 10, and they were sore afraid. They started to worry. That fear began to build up in their hearts and their minds, and they became afraid and started to worry. We allow worry to control us, don't we? And we see in this story that the Israelites allowed this worry to build up in their lives and allowed worry to control their mind, allowed worry to control their thoughts. Let me tell you something, Christian. We don't have to allow worry to control us. Please don't let that happen to you. Don't let the enemy of worry come in and take residence in your heart and your mind and take over your life and guide your thoughts and guide your actions. The Bible says to be careful for nothing. The Israelites began to worry about losing their life. There's two points here. Now, the Egyptians were not coming to kill them. If you read, the Egyptians were coming to overtake them and bring them back to Egypt. We think when we read this, they're an army so that they're there to kill the Israelites. But nowhere does it say that Pharaoh wanted to destroy them or kill them. I believe Pharaoh wanted to bring them back, but they thought that their life was over. The Egyptians are going to kill us. Then we see, where was the Lord in their life? And they're looking back at these Egyptians, at 600 chariots, and about all these, looking at all these captains and all the hosts of the army of the Egyptians, and they begin to worry, but where was God in their thought life? Where was God in their heart? He wasn't present. You see, where worry is present, faith in God is not. Where worry is present, trust in God is not. We need not to worry. Boy, it's a time right now where many are worrying. I know we can think through things and steward our life well and make smart decisions, but our decisions should not be because of worry. So there was worry there. Then there was doubt. Now, who are they doubting? If they can look back and they had more trust in the power of an Egyptian army than they had in their God. Think about that. At that moment, they thought that the Egyptian army was more powerful than God Almighty. And they doubted. Exodus chapter 14, verse 11. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? I told you so. We shouldn't have come out here saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. And then they said this, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Think about this. They were saying it was better to live in Egypt. Now, think in Egypt, it is a picture of the world, the picture of the lost. And so think of this nowadays. It would be better for, as a Christian would say, it would be better for me to be lost than to go through this trial as a Christian. Think about that. Doubting the power of God. Doubting is the opposite of trusting God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, this is interesting. And then it says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So there's two actions here. We can either trust God with all our heart, or we can lean unto our own understandings. Which is it going to be? Well, the Israelites began to lean to their own understanding. They feared the enemy of Egypt. But their enemy, dangerous enemy was the worry and the doubt in their life. Verse 6 of Proverbs 3, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Wow. Do you think that the Israelites acknowledged God at this time? Verse 12, verse 11, there was no acknowledgement of God. It was an acknowledgement of failure, an acknowledgement of fear. There was an acknowledgement of the power of their enemy, but there was no acknowledgement of God anywhere. And then it turned to anger. Can you sense the anger as they approach Moses? They were not getting their way. That's when we get angry. And Moses, we told you we wanted to stay put in Egypt. We didn't want to come out here. And they didn't get their way. And now they were threatened by the Egyptian army. And as they were threatened, they thought, well, this is not what was supposed to happen. We were supposed to leave Egypt. We were supposed to come into the promised land. And everything was supposed to be honky-dory. And there, this wasn't supposed to happen. This is not how it was planned. And isn't that how we react when our plans do not go as scheduled? Anger comes in. Anger comes from the heart. It is a sin that is directly related to pride. Because that person cut me off, I'm going to show him. What about this? Because that referee did not call the call I wanted him to call. I'm so angry at him because my child has inconvenienced me. I'm so angry. That's how we get angry. We don't get our way. It's not how we planned it. It's not how we thought it should go. This was not how the Israelites wanted it to happen, but this is God's plan. Many people respond in different ways when they get angry. Now think about this. When we get angry, how do you respond? Some people respond to anger and they'll blow up. Don't you know that's a sin? When you get angry and you blow up, and many people we know, and you know people that if you say something or if you make them angry, they're going to blow up. And many times you walk on eggshells around that person because you don't want them to blow up. You know what not to talk about because you know they'll blow up. Now, that's a sin, but there's another sin when it comes to anger. Some people clam up, and we think that, boy, if we get angry, we clam up, then that's okay. No, clamming up is a sin as well. Blowing up is a sin that you sin against God and other people, but clamming up is a sin against God and against yourself. There may have been some people in that Israelite camp that were angry and clammed up. The children of Israel blew up at Moses. They not only had corrupt communication, but their heart was sinful. Israel's most dangerous enemy was within. And we are the same way. Whom do you fear? What worries you? What brings doubt in your life? Because worry produces doubt. Doubt produces anger. And we're not fearing God. We're not fearing God. So number one, they're enemies. We know that the Egyptians were the enemies, but their real enemy was worry and doubt and turned to anger. And then we see their encounter. Their encounter was not with the Egyptians. In fact, we don't see that the Egyptians were even got close to them. They got close enough for them to see, but we don't see that the Egyptians even touched them at this time. The Egyptians never reached them. Their encounter was with God. They encountered God. Let's look back at Exodus chapter 13. They took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire gave them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. You see, before we even get to Exodus chapter 14, when they face the Egyptians, we see the Israelites have already witnessed the power of God, have already witnessed the provision of God. God put a pillar of cloud for them to be guided by in the wilderness, and God gave them fire. Gave them a pillar of fire by night so that they could see and be guided by and be protected by at night. God already showed himself in the past. Before looking into the future and worry and doubt and become angry, let us look at what God has done for us. Let me ask you this. Has God saved you? Has God protected you? Has God provided for you? If this is the end of the world or the end of your life, can you say that God has already given you more than you deserve? I believe I can answer that question for you. The answer is yes. I believe if it was shut off at this point and the Egyptians came and captured them again, I believe God showed himself merciful. I believe God did enough for them that they could say, God is a merciful God. God is a wonderful God. They encountered him. When we encounter God, when we understand that we're going through this time and we need to reach out to God, understand God is there. He's always been there. But then we see the present. What is God doing in your heart right now? How is God working right now? And God is working on the Israelites at the present time. The same way that God was working on David when he wrote Psalms chapter 27. You want to go back to Psalms chapter 27. Verse 1, it says, the Lord is my, what's it? Light. And my, what's the next word? Salvation. Whom shall I fear? And look at this phrase, the Lord is the strength of my life. I want you to look at what Moses says to the children of Israel in verse number 13. With that in mind, in Psalms 27, verse 1, look at Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see. You see that? See, he will show us. God shows us. See the salvation, he will save us, of the Lord. Look at verse number 14. The Lord shall fight for you. God will show us because he is our light. God will save us because he is our salvation. God will fight for us because he is our strength. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Bible says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. But we also see the future. Does God have a plan? Does God have a plan for you? Does God have a plan for your family? Does God have a purpose? I believe so. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are called according to his purpose. I believe God has a purpose for your life. God had a purpose for their life. I mean, if you think about it, God brought them to a place. Then we see the emphasis. Their enemies, their encounter, and the emphasis. Now I want you to look at Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 30. So what happened? We know the story. How God parted the Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground. And then they look back, and when they look back, God showed them something. He showed them the destruction of the great army of Egypt, the Egyptian army. Exodus chapter 14, verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. We need to place an emphasis where God places the emphasis. Did you hear that? I want you to get this now. We need to place an emphasis where God places an emphasis. Here in Exodus, we see the emphasis is placed on the great work which the Lord did. Look at verse number 31, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did. The great work which the Lord did. God brought them to a place where he could show them. They were in Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. They were enslaved by their enemy, Egyptians. They were overcome by the Egyptians. There was no way out. They couldn't fight their way out. They didn't have the strength. They couldn't think their way out. They couldn't get out. There was a stronghold there. There's no way they could escape Egypt. But God came and got them out. And then they were on the edge of the wilderness. They ended up on the edge of the wilderness, and they set up camp, and they were looking back, and there was Egypt, and they're looking forward, there's the wilderness, and God had called them out there. There was no turning back. God provided a cloud by day and fire by night to help them. They finally stepped out in the wilderness, and they came and camped along the Red Sea, and this is where it got interesting, because this is where the Egyptians caught up, to where they could see the Egyptians, the army, the powerful Egyptian army. And then God parted the Red Sea. They were on the other side. And when they got on the other side of the Red Sea, they were able to look back, and God showed them His great work. We may be on one side of the Red Sea right now, and we're looking at the water. There's nowhere to go. We're looking to our left and to our right. There's nowhere to go. And we're looking back, and there's a threatening, strong army, an enemy that's coming at us. And you're saying, God, I need to see Your great work. I'd like to see Your great work. I want you to know God's about to do something great in your life. You see, He showed them His power. He showed them His love. He showed them His leadership. Thank God He used Moses. He said in verse number 31, and His servant Moses. See, God brought them to a place where He could show them His power. He could show them His love. He could show them His leadership. But then God brought them to a place where they feared God. Where they fear God. There is nothing wrong with fearing God. Many times people try to define fearing God. I think it's better to describe fearing God. I know I have a father, and when I was a child, I feared my father. He was left-handed and was very athletic, and there were some consequences to my actions. Those consequences, they hurt. The consequences came when I disobeyed. But did you know I love my father? I feared the consequences that my father gave me. When I disobeyed, I feared them. I feared them when I didn't disobey. In fact, the fear of God allowed me to not to obey my father. I didn't want to spank him, but here's where it came down to. I feared disappointing him because I loved him. I feared him and loved him at the same time. And the Lord brought the Israelites to this point where they can start growing in the fear of the Lord. They can start growing in the fear of the Lord. God's love, God's power, God's mercy is real. And during this time of chaos, know that God is in control. May we cast out the enemies of worry and doubt and anger. May we encounter God. And may we put the emphasis on His great work. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for this message, for Your word. Lord, help us to fear You. Help us not to fear man. Help us not to fear viruses. Help us not to fear temporal things. But Lord, help us to fear You. Lord, thank You for this country. I pray for our president. I pray for our leaders. Thank You for this church, this community, the opportunity to reach out. Lord, I pray for other churches. Be with them. Be with their pastors. Lord, and help us to fear You. We give You all the honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.